Welcome to the show that has it all. This is the Betfred Super League.
What a game!
Champions, challengers, newcomers, league's faithful, hold on tight. This is the Betfred Super League 2024. There's nothing like league. Yeah.
Took a big chunk.
Bleeding. It's bleeding.
Oh no, it's bleeding. The thing just ripped my ear off. What do you think?
I must confess, every time I hear that clip from the old episode of Boots and All as the ostrich at the safari park takes a piece out of Steve-O's ear, I do have a bit of a smile. It's wicked, I know. But hey, welcome along to this week's edition of Eddie and Steve-O, the podcast brought to you each and every week thanks to the support of our friends at Betfred. It's always a pleasure to be with you. Thanks for finding us again. And so without further ado, let's wing our way down under to Australia, because that's where the man himself is. Steve-O is waiting to talk to us this week. And Steve-O, I've got to ask you, first of all, after all these years, how is the ear these days?
Still sore. I've still got the scar. I mean, it didn't just nibble. It took a real old bite and took a fair amount of my right ear with it. You remember, it ruined my shirt, it ruined my pants. It was, the blood was just, you couldn't stop it.
I know. You were bleeding.
It was incredible. Yeah, I was bleeding, but the thing is, all you were doing was laughing and pointing.
I know. I do feel wicked when I hear it as the start of our podcast every week, but it brings back such a memory of that day. It was just.
Well, it does bring back memories, Eddie, but I tell you what, I'm more famous for having my ear bitten by an ostrich than anything I did playing for Great Britain, winning a World Cup, blah, 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 winning a championship, boom, 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 boom. No one notices that. No one says that. It's, I remember when you get your ear bitten off by an ostrich. What a way to become famous.
Absolutely disgraceful. And do you remember what the keeper said when we said, I said, do you think we should get him a tetanus jab? And the keeper said, I'm not quite sure which ostrich it was.
Which ostrich, yeah, I know. One of the classics, Eddie. One of the classics.
Classic moments. Right, some interesting results last weekend. None more so, Steve, other than Salford's first win at St Helens in 44 years. Okay, Mark Percival sent off. But even so, Saints were winning it 20-6. Then three Salford tries in the final quarter got them home. Mark Snead, impressive. Paul Rowley, we mentioned him in dispatches on this podcast last week. What a feather in his cap this was.
He's a fine coach, Eddie, and he seems to have this magical touch, especially at half time. And he just turned them around. The confidence that he gives them. And he also allows them to be themselves. A lot of coaches say, look, I want you to stick to this. I want you to do this way, not off the cuff. But he allows his players to do that. And look, the second half, that was the only reason why they won. It was a tremendous fight back. And I must say, the start in the UK, it's bouncing. We're getting good crowds, and that's great for the game.
Indeed so. Six clubs now on 6 points at the top of the table, and Salford one of them, the last win at St Helens, January the 12th, 1980. Wigan, though, are on top. The world champions are the only unbeaten team in Super League. Three straight wins, the latest that 60-point defeat of London. Now, afterwards, Steve-O, Matt Peat praised his academy coach, John Duffy, and head of youth, Shane Eccles. because the win was achieved without the likes of Bevan French, Harry Smith and Liam Marshall. Six of the side, 21 or under. The fullback Jack Faramund, he caught the eye. He's just 18. Now, we've said it so often in the past, youngsters hold the key to the future, don't they? And Wigan, Leeds, Saints, they've got the best of the bunch.
And that tells you one thing. We have to concentrate on providing the opportunity at school level, at college level, to ensure that our game is not pushed out with other sports. And slowly but surely, over the years, that is what has occurred. And only certain schools are adamant about playing rugby league. We really should work harder. And I'm pleased that, you know, Matt Peat gets the opportunity to praise his academy coach, head of youth. This is a situation whereby it is the future. And rugby league has to make sure that it's not all about getting big players to the club. We need the development of youth.
Absolutely. And I think you have news down there in Australia of a major appointment along those lines, haven't you?
Yeah. Look, we had a bit of a reunion, the old Penrith side from way back in the late 60s and during the 70s. And I bumped into my old playing mate, Tim Sheens. Now, Tim starts next week as a consultant to one of the best high schools. It's called Westfield Sports High School. It produces fantastic rugby league players. And for that school to go forward and select Tim Sheens, a man who has won four premierships, he coached Australia to a World Cup win. And you talk about development at the lower end of the scale. Providing, and Westfield Sports High School, all they want to do is ensure that conveyor belt bringing youngsters through in our game continues on. But not just continuing on, but improving. And you can't get much better than the experience of Tim Sheens. And by the way, he was in good form, and I wish him all the best, because it will ensure that more and more youngsters will be coming through with the right attitude towards our game.
Do you think, Steve-O, we could take a lesson from the Aussies books here and the schools here? Is there more than one person who could go into the schools here and do a similar job that Tim Sheens did?
Of course, but you've only got to go back, shall we say, two decades, when the Rugby Football League did all that and got certain areas where experienced professional, retired professionals had an area to look after in the schools. And I, myself, was thinking, this is the best way forward. But guess what? They said they couldn't afford it. Sport England just said, we're giving you no more money because we don't think it's been a success. So we had the opportunity, and we got snubbed.
Well, it's now down to the individual clubs, I suppose, to do that. And when you talk about Leeds, Wigan, Saints, you've now, these days, in 2024, you've got to add Warrington to the youngster-friendly clubs, haven't you? Sam Burgess doing a fantastic job with his kids. Terrific game at Hull KR. Warrington coming out on top, 22-24. Matt Duffy winning the match with a late try, an Australian fullback. But youngsters all over the Warrington Park.
Yeah, we mentioned it last week, Eddie, in regards to, shall we say, at Warrington, too many of the old school were still there. And a lot of times people have said that, you know, is there player power controlling things at Warrington? Well, I can assure you that Sam Burgess is not interested in things like that. He's allowed two players to go out on loan, and that gives him the opportunity to give the youngsters a go. Look, Sam Burgess played under and then became an assistant coach at South Sydney under a man called Wayne Bennett, who, like Tim Sheens, is one of the great coaches down under. Simple as that. And you don't get involved with Wayne Bennett without picking up good vibes, good understanding of the game. And I'm over the moon. I am so pleased that we are now having coaches and clubs who are giving youngsters the chance. Like we said about Petey, you know, praising his head of youth and his academy coach. That's where we have to get to the bottom of things, that all clubs do that.
Well, let's hope there are plenty more out there in the system and they'll come through in the years to come. There was quite a dramatic game at Lee, Steve-O. The Leopards raced into a 16-0 half-time lead against the Leeds Rhinos, but they hit back 22 unanswered points in the second half. Super League's comeback kings, eh?
Well, it appears that way, doesn't it? It's and I think if you look at the fixtures from last season, it was the other way around. It was that they were perhaps taking control, and it was in the second half where they seemed to just forget about the defence. Look, Smith is doing a damn fine job. You know, the Smith family, they've been great coaches throughout all rugby league career, both here in Australia and, of course, in the UK. Look, we need at Leeds to be at the top of the tree. They get good crowds, they've got good background, the club is run absolutely professionally right the way through from top to bottom. And that's what we try to do with every single club.
Well, not everyone was happy after the league game. The owner of the Leopards, Derek Beaumont, he has hit out on social media. He'd seen two Lee tries ruled out by the video referee. Gareth O'Brien was sin-binned. And this is what he said. This is why the game is not investable and needs an absolute overhaul. I will not sit and watch the game be driven into the ground. Fine me, but you won't silence me. Game on. Now, Lee have yet to win. Only Castleford and London are keeping him off the bottom of the table on points difference. I don't think he's a happy bunny this year at the moment, is Derek?
Well, no. I mean, when you haven't had a win so far in the season, after such a wonderful season last year, I can understand his frustration. But the frustration also comes from the fact, Eddie, that every game now is televised. So therefore, there's a lot more pressure being applied to the officials. You know, some of these referees, they probably need a little bit longer to understand about refereeing at the same level. And it's great to think that every game now is televised, but do we have the referees and the officials, the touch judges, good enough to be able to be put out on the screen?
Well, only time will tell as far as that is concerned. And Phil Bentham, the new head of referees, I'm sure he is scouring the country looking for future recruits. Another problem for Lee, Lachlan Lamb carried off with what looked like a really serious injury too. Mm. Things are going against them this year, there's no doubt about it. Is it second season syndrome for the Lee Leopards, do you think?
Sometimes it can occur, Eddie. They get that sort of situation. If you get a run of injuries, there's nothing you can do about it. But the one thing about Derek Bowman, which I admire, is that he won't just sit back and say, well, that's how things are. Look, he loves the game more than anybody, any official or whatever. He's done a fine job and he understands it. He also understands that it's cost quite a lot of money. And I think it's great that they don't just sit back and say, oh, well, that's how we've got to cop it.
And I bet Castleford are hoping that things improve for them as well. They're in a bit of a mess, aren't they, the Tigers? Huddersfield running amok at the Jungle, winning 50-50 points to 8. Where do Castleford go from here? Because they matched Wigan in week one until Liam Watts was, or some would say, red-carded controversially. Then they pushed Salford all the way. They had a good crack at Warrington, but then this. Even the new boss, Craig Lingard, has called it embarrassing. I don't know where they go from here because they're not playing well.
No, it's difficult. And they're in more or less the same position as what the London Broncos have. The Broncos, they had an opportunity to beat Hull. They didn't do that. and the following week they get hammered by Wigan. And that's the sort of situation that I'm afraid the lower clubs are having to go through. It's a coach's nightmare, because when you get hammered, you think, well, I've got to change things. And sometimes you might change too much, and it leaves you out in the open, especially in defence. Look, it's going to be a struggle. It's, to my way of thinking, by the halfway through the season, I think and guarantee that we'll have the top teams, and then we'll have the bottom teams. And I don't think the bottom teams can even get anywhere near, whilst we're halfway through the season, into the playoffs.
Well, Huddersfield will be hoping now after this win that they can be involved in the playoffs. Ian Watson says his team are building now. They're on the up. And Leroy Cudjoe, he played at loose forward, was outstanding apparently. Adam Swift, Sam Halsall, they all got big praise from their coach. I mean, Huddersfield, in many ways, birthplace of the game and all that, you know, sleeping giants, aren't they? They really are. They've dipped a bit lately. They dipped last year, but this is a heck of a win. 50-8 away from home. I know you can only beat what's in front of you, but what a victory that was for them.
Yeah, and look, I've always admired Ian Watson as a coach. I think he's gone through the mill. He knows what's needed. And sometimes, you know, Cudjoe, switching him to loose forward. It's very rare you find a three-quarter that will go into the pack. But these days, packing down in the pack really isn't a scrum anymore, is it? It's virtually a play the ball with six people. Yeah. Simple as that.
Yeah, yeah, so I know what you mean.
It isn't as though that, you know, the likes of Leroy Cudjoe has to do any pushing or put any effort into it or whatever. It's just what I call a lean-to. So therefore, you lose forward, generalising, as an extra halfback.
Last match of the weekend, Catalan. Now, here we are, Catalan Dragons. They beat Hull at home last weekend, 26-12. The Black and Whites made them fight all the way, despite being hit by injuries and suspensions. Listen, Steve-O, to this list of players out for Hull at the moment. Matty Russell, Jack Walker and Danny Houghton. They all came off in France. Brad Fash, Joe Cater, Liam Tindall, Jake Truman, he won't be seen until May, plus at least four others. And what's more, Hull are the most penalised side in Super League at the moment. They've had six bans against their players already, totaling 12 games. Crisis? What crisis? They face Lee at home this weekend.
And it's going to be a tough one for them as well. I mean, with so many injuries and suspensions and et cetera and so forth. Look, it was a good effort. Rather surprisingly, torrential rain. Perhaps that helped their cause. Who knows? Because the Dragons, they thrive on the fact that it's good weather down there, because they like an open game. And a slog in the mud is not what they're used to. I'm not taking anything away from the effort from Hull, but it's when they go down to Catalan, most of the teams realise that it's going to be warm and it's going to be difficult.
Very much so. And they stay third in the table with all the rest of them on 6 points. And the Catalan Dragons are at home again this weekend. They've got Castleford coming across. That's going to be a real test for the Tigers. By the way, Steve, we mentioned it last week. Catalan are going to be asked to pay for travel costs of all the English teams next year. And their chairman, Bernard Gouache, says the French teams do need to put something into the pot. The game's televised in France. The broadcaster pays nothing. Bernard says he accepts that something has to go in, and he hopes that the same broadcasters will cough up next year. Otherwise, it looks doubtful that the games will be shown live over there. Let's keep our fingers crossed, eh?
Well, yeah, and look, Bernard Gouache, he's obviously frustrated by the fact that, I do know that the French Rugby Union, when they get televised, that they are being paid. And we are giving our game to next to nothing down in the south of France. And yes, things have to change. We should all be putting money into the pool. And I think Bernard Gorsch is absolutely spot on saying that, you know, we got to renegotiate. Now, once again, why should they have to renegotiate when we're paying this IMG to change our game, to make our game better, to make it more financial? And yet, we're still giving away our game for next to nothing. Why?
I know it's a question we ask many times on this podcast. The Championship in League One gets underway this weekend, by the way. So too does the Women's Challenge Cup. St Helens women are the holders after their win at Wembley last year against Leeds. And they are added to the list of women's teams who will be paid for playing this year. That's seen as a huge step forward for them and the women's game. So good on St Helens for digging deep into their particular pockets. Talking of the Championship, it's been revealed that there could be a new broadcast deal on the table. Premier Sports, they're currently trying to regain their UK business from Viaplay, who showed the Championship last year. They have put forward a proposal, have Premier Sports, to stream every match in the second tier, but only likely after Easter. And here's a crucial line: a rights fee will be paid. Now, it is a streaming service, but it's seen as a huge boost to the lower tier.
Oh, tremendous boost. And as you say, your last paragraph in regards to the fact that there could be money in the offing.
When you talk about the money that's pouring into the game, you only need to look no further than what's happening down there where you are. The NRL getting underway properly after the shindig in Las Vegas. I mean, they are awash with cash in Australia and the NRL, aren't they?
Well, yes, and that all comes about by the fact that they get paid huge amounts of money from the television companies.
Exactly.
And look, they don't mess around in Australia. Many years ago, they were fighting to ask for an increase, etc., and so forth. And then they got it, and they have the right people.
The rugby league in Vegas is very much in its infancy, but the St Helens chairman, Eamon McManus, is right behind the Vegas experiment, and he wants to see the World Club Challenge played there, and of course he wants St Helens to be involved. He says it would add to the portfolio and add to the appeal for the American audience if it was a World Club title that was being played over there. You see where he's coming from, can't you?
Oh, listen, the man's no mug. Eamon McManus realizes that what Australia has done to take it to Las Vegas is amazing. The NRL did not go to Las Vegas to give the opportunity of Australians or the people from UK to come and watch it. It was all about how many people were viewing on television, because they have to get it into the millions before all the top companies will start investing for the ads. And that's what they're looking at. That's why they've generated a 5-year plan, not just a one-off, but a 5-year plan. And I agree. I think Eamon McManus is absolutely spot on. World Club Challenge, it's got to be there.
Interesting you say that, because we are now going out on YouTube, Steve-O, our podcast. And someone called Boomerang Knights from Australia has sent us a comment after listening to the podcast last week. And you're all right. It's not a bad one. He says, as an Aussie, who also enjoys the Super League, in my opinion, the World Club Challenge has got to stay in England. Nobody does atmosphere at the game better than the English crowds. Good on you, Boomerang Knights. Good on you. Back here, the oldest knockout competition in the world is underway, Steve-O, the Betfred Challenge Cup. An outstanding result from last weekend. Featherstone beat Wakefield 14-10, and they will now play the Lee Leopards, the holders. Other interesting ties: Batley against Castleford. Craig Lingard now at Cass, up against his former club. That could be a battle for him. Wigan will play Sheffield Eagles in a reprise of that 1998 final, which the Eagles so famously won. What a day that was. But the tie of the round is Leeds against Saints at Headingley. Now, the two face each other at the same venue this week. Isn't it funny how that often happens? You play in the league 1 week and you get drawn out of the hat the next.
Yeah, it's look, it's got this magic about it, hasn't it? The Challenge Cup always has done. When my father used to take me as a young kid down to Wembley, I mean, it wasn't just to see the game; it was to have the opportunity to see the capital city. Of course, all that has changed now. Most youngsters they go up and down to London. It's nothing like when we were young kids, but it's still got that magic, and I do hope they never take it away from Wembley. It's a magical word.
Yep, you're right. Wembley and Old Trafford, they are our two massive occasions in the rugby league world. And never mind Las Vegas, Wembley and Old Trafford. Anyway, look, always good to talk. Lots going on, as ever, and even more, I'm sure, that we can chew the cud about this time next week. You take care of yourself, and we'll talk again very, very shortly.
All the best, Stop Man.